lines, Ayatollahs in Iran, Russians in Afghanistan. Wheel of fortune, Sally Ride, heavy metal suicide, foreign debts, homeless vets, AIDS, crack, Bernie gets. Hypodermics on the shores, China's under martial law, rock and roller cola wars, I can't take it anymore. We didn't start the fire, it was always burning since the world's been turning. We didn't start the fire, but when we are gone, it will still burn on and on and on and on and on. So he's a pretty deep guy. Right? When it's a groove to it, you can't always notice that, but there's some serious depth behind the lyrics. And as I said, I'm a lyric guy. That's how I connect with tunes. And in this particular tune, I find a whole lot of truth. One of the reasons is it's just a list of historical facts. So you can't really go wrong in terms of truth. But when we are gone 100 years from now, there'll be another guy just like Billy Joel who will sing a similar kind of tune, and the difficulties that he's faced in his time and in the world around him. The fire will continue to burn. It's also true that we didn't start the fire. From the creation of the world, we've had trouble. You know, the fall of man, the consequences that result from that and from the curse of God. Flash forward close to our time in the 20th century, and we've got two world wars, many other international conflicts, global terrorism, natural disasters that wiped out masses of people, diseases that did the same, and more Christian martyrs than we've seen in any other century, and in fact, many scholars think in every other century put together. And when our century, the 21st century, is through, it seems inevitable that there'll be another song to be sung in a similar way. But what interests me most about this song is the man behind it and his personal journey. By the way, I didn't think Viv's story was boring at all. I thought she had a great testimony and a great journey. And as someone who has come from outside of the church, perhaps it's easier for me to be jealous the other way. So, yeah, value what you've got. But in the same sense, for people like me, we've got a story to tell as well. Billy Joel is a great storyteller, and he has a story to tell. We all do. As a young man, Billy was baptized. He was in the church. He committed his life to following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And with a man of his kind of skills, you can just kind of picture the beauty of him sitting at a piano, singing hymns to the Lord. Would have been an amazing thing to be around and hear that. And then Billy went on a journey. Fame and fortune and a whole bunch of stuff that goes with it, good and bad. He saw some things. Life happened. But now as he sits down, an old man telling the story of his life in music, he identifies as an atheist. Now, I'm not up here to try and judge or condemn him. Again, God knows the full picture, and that's his authority. Neither is there any point in speculating, you know, what it was that happened to turn him around and turn him away from the Lord. We can only hope that he turns back, because there's still a whole bunch of great songs to be sung about the faithfulness of God. However, his songs, they do give an insight into his journey. We Didn't Start the Fire expresses his sadness, his broken heart, for the troubles of his time. And he also reflects that before he was born and after he dies, there's going to be sadness in the world. Another song I like, I was just thinking about it lately, Slow Fade by Casting Crowns. I might try and sing it if you know, you can help me out, Carla. It's a slow fade. When you give yourself away, it's a slow fade. Black and white are turned to gray and thoughts invade. Choices are made, a price will be paid. When you give yourself away, and people never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade. Something to that effect. You know, Billy started strong. He was baptized. He was going to church. He was devoted. But he saw more of the world around him. He must have wondered, how can God be in control? He must have wondered, how can God be in control of what seemed like a mess? He may then have tried to harmonize, as all good musicians do. Perhaps there is a God, but he probably doesn't have much to do with what's going on in the world around. Perhaps he's kind of perfect and set apart and holy over there, but there's no way he could be really involved in this den of iniquity. So perhaps this God has nothing to do with Billy. Perhaps he has no way to help him and is of no use to him. Then perhaps this God is a fiction. Perhaps there is no God at all. I'm not saying this is exactly what Billy's journey was. Every man has to tell his own story, but by his own confession, he moved from a young Christian to an old atheist. And his music reveals some of the journey in between those two points. Looking back to the time of Christ's crucifixion, we see the fire of sin burning at its ugliest and most destructive capacity. The text I want to focus on this evening is Acts 4:27-28. For Herod, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. I'll just read that one more time. For Herod, Pontius Pilate the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. This text is a remarkable text. Peter is describing the worst event he's ever seen. The murder of his Lord. All kinds of men, religious, non-religious, Jewish, Gentiles, rulers, slaves, universally rejecting God and condemning his son to the most horrific, violent death. And then he says, God planned it. It was God's idea. God planned this horrible event where these horrible people would do these horrible things and use the horror to bring about a glorious hope for all humanity. Peter is resting in the knowledge that God planned the cross of Christ to save humanity, to bring us into an eternal heaven, life everlasting. Peter's another man with a story to tell, another man who went on a journey. His first words to Jesus that we have on record are, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." He now has a story to tell. He's seen the Lord do extraordinary things. He's been encouraged in faith. He's had a lot of things which he hasn't been able to understand. A lot of things he hasn't been able to understand. He's been so brave that he gave up everything. He laid down his life for the Lord and was actually willing to die for the cause. He's been so afraid and confused that he denied even knowing the Lord. Yet here he stands, 3 or so years into his walk with the Lord, confident that the most horrible, spirit-crushing event that he ever witnessed was planned by God and is now the way the Lord will bring all people to himself. Peter is now a leader and a teacher. Through the difficulties of life, he's resolved God is in control. Peter is now declaring the way God defines success. Death and resurrection. Humility before exaltation. He's not only declaring it, he's a living example. He's a testimony to God's gracious redemption. So God plans the valley as means to take us to the mountaintop. God has ordained suffering as the means by which he will bring us to joy. Those who weep now will soon laugh. Those who are humble will be exalted. The last will be first, and the first will be last. We might call this the law of irony. We can definitely call it God's plan. So in this passage of scripture, Acts 4:27 and 28, Peter's describing the greatest example of how God works. The example of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And as I've said, Peter had a journey of faith and doubt, of understanding and confusion, of sin and righteousness. Throughout the journey, he humbled himself. That was the key. He humbled himself and crowned the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord of all. He saw that God controlled even the event that led Peter to great grief and great sin, denying his own Lord in the time of his death. He comes back to it. God planned it for our redemption. So I'm talking about journeys a lot, but I can see I'm looking at Billy Joel, and I've seen a journey starting off in faith, seeing the world, and becoming unable to accept that God is actually in control of what is going on and what looks like it's kind of burning up. Peter also had a journey, but throughout his journey he wisely concluded that God controls everything, even the most awful, evil circumstances, and in the end works them for the most glorious, redemptive, and hopeful purposes. But you and I are also on journeys. We also have stories to tell. And I want to ask you a question now. Do you know that the Lord is sovereign over your whole life? Do you think of him in that way? Can you fall on your knees with King David and say, Lord, each one of my days was written in your book before I was born? Do you see God this way? John Calvin said, when we ignore the fact that God controls both our lives and the world around us, this is the greatest of all miseries. He says, nothing will bring you more grief and tears and pain and sadness than ignoring the sovereign hand of God. And he said, nothing can bless you more than to know it well. In his great trials, Calvin remarked, Thou, O Lord, Thou bruises me. It is enough for me to know it is thy hand. And then you see a bit of a mystery of such pain and discomfort, but a deep knowledge that behind it all, above every secondary cause or instrument that the Lord is using, the Lord is in control. Can you stand with him and say that? Can you see that the Lord has planned your pain? Can you see that he has prepared your trials? And he's doing it in order to produce in you a character worthy of and delighting in the glorious hope of our eternal oneness with Christ and his family. We can look to our brother Job, a faithful man. He felt that God had hurt him so deeply that he no longer wanted to live. The world had turned against him. His friends had, in a way, turned against him. Today he might be put in a mental home. But the Lord said, he's my son. He's my friend. I planned his sorrow and I'll restore him. And the Lord restored him to twice the glory he had beforehand. Can you stand with Job and trust the Lord? Can you stand with Peter looking at the brokenness of the world and say, yep, the people have united against the Lord. They've killed him. It seems that evil has triumphed over the good. Yet still, God planned this. And he has made this the cornerstone for salvation. Can you stand with Peter? God is working amazing things in the worst situations. Or as my friend Brendan Collins would say, God is working the miracle in the valley. This is God's plan. Death before life, humility before exaltation. Christ is our example. On a personal note, just a few days ago, as I was preparing this sermon, our Nana passed away. We were very close for many years. However, 9 years ago, she had a stroke, which left her unable to walk or speak for basically the last decade of her life. When we would visit her, you'd see brief moments of joy before the normality of discomfort or indifference took over. 9 years of no walking or talking, just thinking, praying perhaps. I can't be sure that she was a Christian. I don't know that for sure. I've heard some things in the last few days which would give me hope, but I don't want to get carried away with wishful thinking. What I do know is that around 6 weeks ago, 6 to 8 weeks ago, I felt a great burden from the Lord to see her regularly. In the past, I'd only been visiting once every few months. And I began to visit weekly. I'd read a verse about salvation and what we're required to believe, sang some hymns, and prayed that she would accept Christ as her Savior. And again, we just don't know if that happened. Over the last kind of 10 years, it was easy to get discouraged. Outwardly, the situation looked completely hopeless, to be honest. Going to visit was never a fun time, was it? And you would ask, you know, is the Lord really in control? The last 6 weeks were a great reminder of his providence. He was still working with her right up to her final hours. The more I found out, the more I found that many people were praying for her. Throughout the 9 years of her disability, there had been 9 years the Lord was able to work and work great things. I just want to conclude with a warning. The teaching that God is in control of all things is not a secondary issue. It's not a matter of opinion. It's not something we can agree to disagree on. If each time we're hurt or we see brokenness in the world, we distance it from the Lord, we end up with a fake God or no God at all. Distancing God from the world and from our own lives, it will destroy our faith. And we might call that the liberal apostasy. The error on the other end is when we accept God as being in control, but we reject what is also plainly taught in Scripture, that we are morally responsible and accountable for all of our actions. Our Lord himself spoke clearly and plainly, you will be held account for every idle word you speak. Every single word. We are responsible and accountable. Ignoring this truth will lead you to ignore your responsibility to pray and to work, and you'll become fruitless. We might call this the conservative apostasy. So then, there are two things that can't be exaggerated. The first is the sovereignty of God. He is the God that numbers the hairs on our head. Not two sparrows fall to the ground without him ordaining it. And the second is our moral responsibility. Every single word that we've ever said will be held to account. And falling too far either way will lead you to trouble, and you have to hold the two in tension. So I just want to leave you with a challenge. Do you view Christ as Lord of all? The good and the evil? The joy and the pain? Heaven and earth? And how will you respond to this truth? I think if it's truly understood, our prayer lives will deepen. We'll be inspired to work for the Lord like never before. I started this message with a song, and though it had a bit of a groove going on and it's pretty catchy, it's pretty heavy. It's in many ways a song that Billy thought the world was really not a great place. But I want to finish with the song of life. And I'd like you to consider that the Lord has given us both and has turned the one into the other through the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This song is called The Lord.
Find me in my sin, the Lord, the Lord. Who will help this lonely heart get through this lonely night, the Lord? The Lord. So many tears I've cried, so many more tonight. I have faith the Lord can see them and heal them. I've come to see that all I have is you. Ooh. I know you hear me. I know you'll heal me. I know you'll hear me. I know you'll heal me.